الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فضرب الله مثلا قرية كانت آمنة مطمئنة يأتيها رزقها رغدا من كل مكان فكفرت بأنعم الله فأذاقها الله لباس الجوع والخوف بما كانوا يصنعون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His Qudrat, has created this world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is running this world. The servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of us human beings, we have different halat, different situations in our life. Sometimes we have health and sometimes sickness. Sometimes there is profit or loss. Sometimes we have izzat or zillat. Sometimes we have happiness and sometimes there is sadness. تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. That we keep changing the days. If you look at human history, there are certain calm, certain societies and communities that have passed, that they did obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obeyed the commandments of Allah ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them aman, itminan, provision. Allah ta'ala gave them a life of contentment. So for example, in Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about a qawm, which is qawm is sabah. لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَئٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٌ. That there is a very big sign for you in the homes, in the dwelling places of the people of Sabah. This was a city where you had gardens on both the sides, on the right and on the left. They had agricultural technology which was at its peak, at its pinnacle. At the Mufassirin, they have written that if someone would take a basket of fruits with him and they would go through, they would pass the gardens of Qawm Sabah, then they would be able to fill the basket with fruits. Just by the amount of fruits that be falling from these trees, they will be able to fill the basket and the garden wouldn't have even finished by the time they would reach the end, and their baskets would be filled. The baskets would be full of fruits. There are abundance of fruits, abundance of risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jannatani an yamini wa shimal. There are gardens on the right and on the left. Kulu min rizqi rabbikum washkurula. And they were told that you should eat from the provisions of your Lord. Be grateful to Allah ta'ala. Baldatun tayyibatun wa rabbun ghafoor. Such a pure land, a beautiful land, a good land that has been given to you, and you have a very forgiving love, forgiving Rabb. Such a pure land, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive all your sins. So this was a city which was very beautiful, which was very pleasing to the eyes, and Allah Ta'ala also had given a lot of rizq to the people of that city. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is saying that, O my servants, eat the rizq and make shukr, be grateful to me, and Allah will forgive your sins. Then what happened, that ghaflat came into the people of that qawm. They became ghafil, forgetful about the hukum of Allah, and they started disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Mufassirin, they have written that as a result what happened, that the water level of that land, it went down. And when the water level went down, then they didn't have any water for irrigation, for agriculture, and their gardens began to dry. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in a musibah. That same community then went through this time of affliction where they didn't even have food to feed their families. There is another community, another story that is mentioned in the Quran. The king of that city was Fir'aun. And this Fir'aun was an extremely cruel tyrant dictator. And he became a king at a very young age. Mufassirin have said that about 18, roughly 18 years. If a person who gets kingdom, the throne, at such a young age, and there was no opposition, every person would be believing in him. And his age is so young, there is no opposition, he has all the treasures of the land with him. So normally in such a situation, a person becomes arrogant. And that's what happened to this person. He became arrogant. And he lived for about 60 years. 60 years he was the king. He had the throne with him. So today, sometimes if a person gets the throne, they get it for 4 years or 6 years. If a person becomes the prime minister for second term, 8 years. This person was the king for continuously 60 consecutive years. His hukum, his rule. And he also had a lot of wealth. And because of that, he became arrogant. He used to say that this Misr belongs to me. That this Sheher, the city of Egypt, it belongs to me. Wahadihi, these rivers, they flow underneath me. This is my kingdom. These rivers, they flow because of me, because of which we are able to do agriculture. And because of that arrogance that he had, eventually he proclaimed himself to be the king, to be the lord, to be the rab. Anna rabbukum al-a'la, that I am the greatest lord. Then Allah Ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam towards him so that he could get some hidayah. But this king, he wasn't in the mood of hidayah. He refused that hidayah. He ignored that hidayah, rejected that hidayah. And now when he disobeyed the command of Allah, this hidayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an affliction on the people. And these afflictions, they came in two stages. You need this azmaish, this test, it came in two stages. The first stage of the test was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a drought upon them. There was a famine. And there was no rain. And when there was no rain, they didn't have water for irrigation, and hence food. It was a killat, a shortage of food, a shortage of wheat, shortage of basic crops, staple items. So this was the first azab, punishment that went upon them, that they had this punishment of famine and no rains. Then these people, they still continued to ignore the command of Allah. They still did not accept Iman, the hidayat from Allah. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduced the crop that they had. So whatever irrigation or whatever crops that they had, that began to die down. The fruits began to go away, they began to rot, and their products began to diminish. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, that we took the people of Fir'aun and we reduced their samarat, la'allakum yadhakkarun, so that they can get some nasiha. This was a kihetsai, this was a famine for them, a reduction in their risk. Why? So that they could get some ibrat, so that they could take some nasiha, some counsel, or some remembrance from the halat, from the events that came upon them, so that they could learn the lesson. But this was a qawm which was so deviant that it used to say, and Allah Ta'ala quotes them in the Quran, that they used to say that whenever there is prosperity, قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِهِ, that this prosperity is because of us. This prosperity came because of us. And whenever they were sent some affliction, some test, some trial, some calamity, they would say that this affliction and calamity is because of Musa alayhislam and Harun alayhislam, and because of the people who believe in Sayyidina Musa alayhislam. It's because of them we have this calamity. You know, that's how twisted their thinking was. That's how deviant they were. So what happened, that when one after another Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these tests upon them, these calamities upon them, and still they refused to believe, still they refused to pay heed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the second stage of test. The second stage of events began to unfold upon them. And the second stage of tests and trials and tribulations were more intense than the first one. Much more intense than the first one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran that we sent upon them a tufan. We sent a tufan. Tufan, this was, you can say, a windstorm. Heavy downpour, rains and windstorm and thunder. We sent tufan upon them. And we sent a punishment of locust. There was an invasion of this creature which is called a locust. Locust came, and this creature, it completely destroyed their all their crops. Jirad. In Quran Allah mentions this. A few days ago in Pakistan we had such a swarm of locusts, and people saw them in the sky, and it completely covered the sky, and whoever looked at the sky, they were amazed. There are thousands and millions of locusts in the sky. And the Mufassirin have mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent 18 jamaat of locusts, yani 18 groups of locusts were sent upon this qawm of Fir'aun so that they could pay heed. But again, they refused. So Allah first sent tufan upon them, windstorm, thunderstorm, rain, and then the second punishment came in the form of this azab of locust, which completely devastated and destroyed their crops and whatever fruits and things they had for eating. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ayat mufassalat, that these were clear ayat for them, signs of them, signs for them, clear, manifest signs so that they could take lesson. But how did they respond? Fastakbiru. They became arrogant. And not only did they become arrogant, they also became steadfast on their kufr, on their denial. And they refused to accept this guidance from Allah. They refused to accept this iman on Allah. And they refused to accept and pay heed and reflect on the events that came upon them. And now, when in the second stage, after being tested by so many calamities, when they still refuse to take lesson, so Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he understood that these people, they will not listen to me, they will not accept my deen, they will not accept this guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he made a baddu'a for his people. And Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the baddu'a of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that oh Allah, you gave Fir'aun this zenith, this mal, that oh Allah, you gave these treasures to Fir'aun, and his stomach is full, but he's not willing to listen and pay heed to this nasiha, to this guidance. They're refusing to accept this. So Allah, my dua is that Allah, let this mal go away from them. Destroy their mal, the money that they have, the wealth that they have. And make their hearts washtut, make their hearts very firm, very sakht, very hard. So that they will not be able to accept Iman, and they will be able to taste that painful punishment. Adhabul Alim, so that they can taste that painful punishment. So Sayyidina, the Nabi of that time, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made this badwa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, okay, my Peygamber, my Musa alayhi salam, we have accepted your dua, and there will be an azab that will come upon them. And what was the azab that came upon the people of Fir'aun? Allah told Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that take Bani Israel with you and just exit Egypt. Leave Egypt. And you are being persecuted, you are being oppressed. So they began to make preparations for leaving. The night came and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam with his people, Bani Israel, they slipped away. Now when they slipped away, Fir'aun, he had intelligence report, and he was told that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they are leaving, and Bani Israel, they are also leaving. So Fir'aun then started, he made plans that we want to chase Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and his lashkar and Bani Israel. So Allah Kishan, it so happened that when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is now with his kafila, with Bani Israel, they reach the edge of the river, and Allah Ta'ala sends madad, Allah Ta'ala sends assistance and help, and the pathway is made on the river, and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel are able to cross through. Now Fir'aun begins to think that I can also cross through. So he also puts his horses, his qawm also puts their animals in the river, and then when the entire lashkar of Fir'aun is inside the river and they're trying to cross the river, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands and the river, they join together. وَأَغْرَقْنَا عَلَى فِرْعَوْنَ Allah says that we drowned all of the Fir'aun himself and all of the family, all the people who are following Fir'aun. All of them were drowned in this river. This was the mu'jiza. This was the adab that came upon them. For those who believed in Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they continued forward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them manu salwa to eat for 40 years. There was no mehnat, no effort that they had to do, no hard manual labor. Allah ta'ala would put manu salwa before them. It would come in the morning time at Fajr, and they would be able to eat whatever they wanted to eat. And next day, again Allah ta'ala would send manu salwa upon them. And Mufassirin, some Mufassirin have written that manu salwa, it consisted of fish. They were given the meat of a fish, and they also had boiled vegetables and some kind of liquid called vinegar or sirka. And now that qawm, which doesn't have to do any work, and they're getting this rizq from above, manu salwa from above every day. So that those people, instead of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of fixing their amal, they went against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their amal deteriorated, right? Bigad gaye. They went against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also became arrogant. And when they started questioning Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and the hukum and the message of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. So Allah Ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, that Allah Ta'ala commanded that qawm of Musa alayhi salam that you should enter a city. You should go there, Allah will assist you, Allah will help you, you should enter that city is for is yours. However, that city, the inhabitants of that city were very strong people, and Bani Israel, yani the qawm of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, they said that no, we cannot face such people. In Quran Allah says they were jabbareen, that go, Allah saying, commanding them, you go and Allah will give you victory. But the qawm of Musa alayhi salam was so mahroom, was so deprived, that they refused to obey this command of Allah. They said that Musa alayhi salam, we will not go, we cannot fight them, they are qawm, they are jabbareen, they are very strong, they're very brave, that we are no competition for them, And Musa alayhi salam is saying that Allah will help you. But still these people were so deprived that said, we won't go. We won't go, we won't go, we won't enter their city. Then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam again tried to counsel them that look, Allah's madad will be with you, Allah's help and assistance is with you. This is the hukum of Allah, take that first step, Allah will help you. But they responded and said that izhab anta wa rabbuka faqatala, that you and your Rabb, you should go and you should do qital. Inna ha'una ka'idun, that we are here, we are sitting, we are not moving. Yani this is such a, we can't even begin to try, I can't even, you know, it's very difficult to translate, right? These words here, the kind of response that they had. Yani they are saying basically, Musa alayhi salam, you and your Rabb, you go and you fight. We are sitting here, we are not doing anything, we are not moving. Yani that's how deprived they were. So then Musa alayhi salam, he also became worried, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, this was the ikhtiyar, this was what I could do upon them. I could only teach them, I could only counsel them. If they are not willing to pay heed to my counsel, if they're not willing to accept this hidayat, what can I do? Well, later on when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam passed away after 40 years, then they made an effort and they tried to enter into that city. Now when they were making arrangements to enter that city, attacking that city, so the inhabitants of that city, as a military tactic, they sent some of their young girls, unmarried girls, into the lashkar of these people of Bani Israel. They knew that Bani Israel, they have been away from their houses for a long time, and men, they cannot remain without a wife, without their wife for a long time. So when they will get these women will become a fitna for them, and they will begin to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the madad, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will no longer be with them. So that is exactly what happened, that these women, unmarried women, came to this qawm of Bani Israel, and they refused to accept that guidance of Musa alayhi salam, and they engaged in zina, they engaged in obscenity, they engaged in vulgarity. And when they engaged in this act of vulgarity, obscenity, what you call fasha'i, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent ta'un upon them. Allah ta'ala sent a plague upon them. This waba spread within them, and this waba spread to such an extent that about 70,000 people passed away in one day. 70,000 janazas in one day. And if you reflect on the story, today if in any city, if there are 5 janazas or 7 janazas, there is a whole panic in the whole city. In one city, 70,000 people passed away. And this is Allah Ta'ala teaching us, Allah Ta'ala wanted to teach us that if you become rebellious and when you engage in such open acts of vulgarity, then this will be the consequence, this will be the result. This waba or this ta'un or this endemic that spreads, this also came later. This also came later. And this also came in the history of Islam. So for example, during the caliphate of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, again there was a plague, there was a ta'un which spread near this area called Syria. Here a question comes up that this plague or this endemic, it happened, it occurred in Bani Israel because of their vulgarity, obscenity, the fahashi, the acts of fahashi that they used to do. But at the time of the caliphate of Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they also, Sahaba Ikram and Tabi'een, they also had to go through that phase. They also had to face this test of Ta'un and Waba, which happened during that time also, Sahaba Ikram. But the Sahaba Ikram were pious people, they were people who had given their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why did this calamity happen to them? So the ulama, they have given a reply. They say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this test upon the Sahaba Ikram and the Tabi'een at the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It came not as a punishment, but it came as a way to teach Ummat or what we are supposed to do when we have certain such halat. Any that waba that came at the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this was a lesson. This came as a way to teach us that what are we supposed to do in such halat. So therefore we have a teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that if there is a ta'un, an endemic which spreads in a city, then people who are living in that city, they should not leave that city. And people who are outside that city, they should not travel, they should not journey, they should not do safar and try to enter that city. So the Prophet ﷺ, he stopped the people who are in that city where there is an endemic or disease. They should not go out, because if they go out, then they can cause harm to other people. They can become the agents of causing disease to other people. At the same time, people who are outside, they should not enter. When they enter, then they can catch that disease. So why are you putting yourself in the mouth of death, right? Don't make this a place of recreation and entertainment. Keep yourself away from such places. So this was the rahmatul lil alamini of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The rahmat, a mercy for all of the alameen, a mercy for every single halat. This is the beauty of the deen of the sharia, that this is a complete code of life which gives us guidance about every situation that can potentially come to human beings till yawm al qiyamah. So the Prophet ﷺ gave us this ta'aleem, this teaching. So that's why in one hadith the Prophet ﷺ said also that there is an inam, a blessing, a reward that a person will get. That they will become shaheed-e-akhirat. Yani in the akhirah they will get the sawab of shaheed, of a martyr. And there are actually five such categories of people that are mentioned in hadith who will die in this world, but they will be shaheed-e-akhirat. Yani on the day of Qiyamah, they will be getting the reward of shaheed. First is that person who dies in such a disease of ta'un, in a plague, and that person will be counted as shaheed-e-akhirat, will be rewarded as a martyr. Yani in the world, he will not be said to be a shaheed, but on the day of Qiyamah, he will be raised up in the ranks of the shaheed, in the line of the shaheed. He will be given the darja of the shaheed. Similarly, a person who dies because of a disease of the stomach, that person will also get the rank of shaheed-e-akhirah. Likewise, that person who falls, maybe from a building or some other place, who falls down and as a result of that fall, he dies. That person will also get this rank of shaheed-e-akhirah. Likewise, a person who is crushed by something, by a boulder or by a heavy stone, and they die in that situation, that person also will get the rank of shaheed-e-akhirah. So there are about five such categories of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says will get the rank of shaheed-e-akhirah. They will be raised up on the ranks of shaheed on the day of Qiyamah. Yani these are the ways, you know, people sometimes accidentally they die immediately or suddenly. There's an accidental death that they don't even get the time and opportunity to recite the kalima. So for such accidental, sudden, immediate deaths, Nabiullah salatu wasalam is saying that for my ummati, whoever dies in such a way, then they will get the rank of shahadat in akhirah. So even this type of death becomes a source of mercy for us. This type of death also becomes a rahmat for us. Rahmatul lil alameen. So that waba that came at the time of the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, that was also very widespread. Again, muhaddiseen and people, historians, have said that about 30,000 sahaba ikram, they passed away in that waba. Bani Israel, 70,000 people passed away. And in this history of Islam, 25,000 people passed away in Syria. So these are halat which keep on changing. This is history. This is our human history. This is part of our Islamic history also. And today again we have another situation that there is another waba, another disease, another endemic or a pandemic by the name of coronavirus. And this is something which is a worldwide disease, pandemic, which is spreading almost all over the world. And this is destroying the economy of several nations. And it has put everyone into a state of fear and panic, where people are worried about their own lives, they're worried about the lives of other people. And people are not meeting each other. So the question is that in such a situation, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do in such a situation? So first thing is that whatever the ulama, the mufti are telling us in our locality, we should do amal on that. Because muftis and the ulama, they are those people who are the doctors of our deen. And the tabib or the physicians or the doctors, what they are saying, we should also follow their advice. Because they are the doctors of our body. So whatever ihtiyat, whatever safety precaution, whatever guidelines they are giving us, we should do amal on those guidelines. So we should do amal on the hidayat of the mufti, who are the doctors of our deen, and we should do amal on the hidayat, on the guidance and the precaution that is coming from the doctors, because they are the doctors of our body, of our physical jism. So for example, if the doctors are saying that you should wear a mask, you should social isolation or social distancing, or when you go out in public places you should wear a mask, so we should use a mask. If they say that leave musafaha, don't do musafaha, we should leave musafaha. There is no haraj. Musafaha is a mustahab amal. Salam is oral, it's verbal, so there's no need to shake hands, right? Salam is enough. You can say salam to the other person. That's the asal sunnah. Likewise, they're telling us that we should wash our hands after every few hours, and we should wash our hands properly. Now, this is already a teaching of our deen. At-tahuru shatrul iman, purity, cleanliness, cleaning. This is nothing new for us. We are already told that we should be practicing these things. These are best practices of our deen, of the sunnah, of the sharia. In any case, that before you eat a meal, you should wash your hands thoroughly, rinse your mouth. After you're done eating your meal, you should wash your hands. Then, we should have, and we can use disinfectants, liquids, clean different areas of our homes where there is a potential for these germs, for these viruses to grow. These are all ihtiyati, safety precautions, health guidelines, and we should do amal on these guidelines. At the same time, we should also continue with our actions of ibadah. So in one hadith mubarakah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not some Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes an intention to send azab, a punishment on a community. But in that community there is a muazzin who says Allahu Akbar. And when he says the azan of Allahu Akbar, because of Allahu Akbar, that azab is delayed. Allah delays that azab, Allah suspends that azab because of the muazzin saying Allahu Akbar. So we should understand that these diseases, they come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, Allah ta'ala can remove these diseases from us. So the way is that we should also then turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help in these times. Last time I mentioned that there is a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ has said five things. That there are five things will cause five things. Any five things, there are five things, and these five things a person does, then the natija or the result will come down in five things. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he is the Ravi of this hadith. And I'll repeat this hadith because this is a very important hadith for us to remember at this time. So Nabiullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says that whenever behayai, whenever obscenity or vulgarity, it spreads in a community to such an extent that it's being done openly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the natija, the result is that Allah ta'ala sends ta'un, Allah ta'ala sends these endemics, these diseases, and these diseases spread all over the community. And these diseases, they spread to such an extent that even before, you know, people beforehand, they don't even know the names of such diseases. And Allahu Akbar Kabira, if you look today, we have obscenity, we have loss of, we have immodesty, we have vulgarity. It becomes very common these days, all over the world. That's a worldwide culture, worldwide fashion. It's not just one city or one country, wherever you look. Wherever you look, we see this. And this is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whenever such things are practiced openly, then there is a waba that spreads. Allah sends a waba and that waba spreads. That waba, the names of which are earlier people won't even have known about. Second thing, that those who refuse to give zakat, when people stop giving zakat of their money, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops barishe, Allah ta'ala stops rain from the sky. And the Prophet ﷺ said that if there weren't animals here living on the earth, then Allah would not even send one a drop of rain on human beings. Yani, this rain that we enjoy today, it's because of the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of then Allah ta'ala sends us rain. If it was just only us, right, only people, human beings here, then rainfall would have been completely taken away. This blessing would have been taken away from us. Because normally we see again that people are not careful about their zakah. They don't pay zakah. People try to evade zakah. Then third thing, that those people, when they start breaking the commands of Allah, and when they start breaking the sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ, the hukum of the Prophet ﷺ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes other people dominant over them. Allah allows other people, other communities, other countries to dominate them, to become musallat upon them. And those other people and other communities, that they snatch away all the provisions that this community had initially. Whatever they had is taken away by those other forces when they dominate them. And again, this is being Allah, Nabiullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying this. Nabiullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us that when a person breaks the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he breaks the hukum of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then other people, they become musallat, other cities, countries, they become musallat over us. And again, we can see all of this with our own eyes, that today we are breaking the commandments of Allah. It's very easy for a person to break the command of Allah, but the result is that other qawm, other communities, other nations are becoming musallat, are dominating over us. Every time, every day, there is a danger of war. People are worried that this person, the neighbors will attack, that person will attack. People are living in a state of fright, in a state of fear, in a state of shock. There is no peace. There is khawf from the outside, and there is also inner anxiety. There is no sukoon. There is be'amni. There is no itminan. So these are five things that the Prophet ﷺ said, that whenever a person does these things, then, and also another thing, that when a ruler, they do not follow the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they make their own decisions, then people will start fighting with each other. So these are five things that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in that hadith, and all each one of them, every single one of these five hadith, five things, they're 100% absolutely correct. Absolutely correct, because these are the words of the Prophet ﷺ. When a person does this, that will happen. This will happen. And this is something which we are seeing with our own eyes today. So in such situation, what are we supposed to do? There are seven things that we need to be careful about. Seven things that all of us should remember. If we remember these seven things and we are careful about these seven things, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us ajr, Allah will give us a reward. So what are those seven things? Number one is that we have to take safety precaution. Whatever ihtiyati tadabir, health guidelines, safety guidelines, whatever are being told to us, we should abide by those guidelines. This means two things. Number one, whatever the mufti, they are telling us, mufti, the ulama are telling us, because these muftis, like I said, are the doctors of our deen. So we should act according to their guidelines. And likewise, whatever the doctors, the physicians are telling us, these are the doctors of our physical body, we should abide by their guideline. This is a responsibility of every believer to make use of these safety precautions. Al-ihtiyat huwa nisful hayat. That ihtiyat or precaution is half of life. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-wiqayatu khayrun min al-ilaj. That prevention is better than cure. Prevention is better than cure. So we should take these precautionary measures. That's what the Prophet ﷺ is teaching in this hadith. That if ever there is a waba or an endemic or a plague or a disease which becomes widespread in a community, then people who are inside, they should not leave. And people who are outside, they should not enter. So this is one amal that all of us should do, one or two amal, that we should follow the ihtiyati tadabir, safety precautions which are being issued by the mufti, by the ulamas, and also by the doctors. Then at the same time, we should also increase in our dua for hifazat. We should make dua for hifazat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should recite this dua particularly in abundance. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Hasbunallah, that Allah is sufficient for us. Wa ni'mal wakil, Allah is our wakil, Allah is the best of wakil. Ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir, Allah is the best of our mawla, is our guardian, is our protector. Wa ni'mal nasir, and Allah is our helper in these times. So we should recite this kasrat in abundance, 100 times, 200 times, 300 times. We should have a wird of making this dua. This is a dua for hifazat, through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will protect us, will do hifazat of us. Then the fourth thing Allah Ta'ala says in Quran about the Prophet ﷺ, that Allah Ta'ala, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ مَا أَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. That, O my beloved Messenger ﷺ, we will not give azab to your ummah as long as you are present within them, as long as you are among them. We will not send لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ, we will not send any azab upon them. Anyway, what this means is that the Prophet ﷺ, for as long as the Prophet ﷺ was alive in his ummah, Allah Ta'ala had given a guarantee that I will not send azab on this ummah. Now the ulama have extracted a lesson from this ayat of the Quran. They say that now that the Prophet ﷺ has passed away, he is no longer with us, so whoever and whichever society, wherever they are living, if they can adorn themselves with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, then again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save them from the azab. Just like when the Prophet ﷺ was present, Allah Ta'ala had guaranteed that I will not send azab upon them. In the same way, the ulama, they say that if a person can adorn himself with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, if the sunnah is mawjood, if the sunnah is present, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not send azab upon such a people. So at this time, another thing that we are supposed to do is we are supposed to hold firmly to the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We should learn those sunnahs if we don't know them, and then we should practice and implement those sunnahs in our life. And the more and more we do amal on the sunnah, then inshallah Allah will save us from azab. And in that same hadith, in the same ayat of the Quran, Allah says that we will not send azab upon them, and for those who do istighfar, we will not send azab upon them. So two things are mentioned in this ayat of the Quran, which means that whatever any community who are able to hold firmly on the sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ and they do abundance of istighfar, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not afflict them with the punishment. Allah will save them from that azab. So this is another Quranic, important Quranic ayat, which is teaching us two amal, that we should hold on to the sunnah and we should do kasrat istighfar in these times, and because of the barakah of this, inshallah Allah will protect and preserve us from this azab. Then the fifth amal is that we should do wird of ayat-e-kareema. Ayat-e-kareema is this ayat of the Quran which was the dua of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wassalam. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minal zalimin. Most of you know this dua. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minal zalimin. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he was inside the sea. And he was inside the belly of that whale. That belly of that whale was inside that sea. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam out of that belly of that whale. Yani, if you look at the story, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam was inside this ocean. And because of this ayat-e-kareema, because of this dua, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minal zalimin, because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave najat to Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Today, we are also in the ocean of this coronavirus. It's like an ocean. We are living our lives in this ocean, in this sea of this virus. We don't know where the virus is. People say, on the hand knobs, the things that you use, on the car, so many objects, and not just people. That's what the science is telling us, that this virus can be anywhere, even on surfaces now. So it seems that we are living in the sea of virus. The virus seems to be everywhere. We are surrounding. We are living our life inside the sea of this virus, of coronavirus. And the way najat for us is, we have guidance here from the Quran. That if we do wird of this ayat, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take us out from this sea of this virus of corona. So we should do wird of this ayat daily. Then if you look at that story of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, the people of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, when they became aware that Allah's azab is about to come upon them, and when the people saw that the azab of Allah is coming, so they immediately began to make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. And because of this amal of tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suspended that azab. Allah saved them from that azab. Now for us also, this disease, this endemic has also become like an azab. So what this requires is that we should make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should make infiradi tawbah, individual tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can make collective tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we make this tawbah to Allah, istighfar to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can also remove this azab from our people, from our communities. So tawbah means that today we should make an intention that, Allah, I make a firm pledge to you, a promise to you, that I am going to, first and foremost, I'm seeking repentance, seeking forgiveness for all the sins that I've done, making tawbah. And I'm also making an intention and a pledge and a promise to you that Allah, I'm going to stay away from those things which lead me towards these sins. If a person doesn't have control over them when they use the internet, they slip easily into those websites which they're not supposed to go into. We should make tawbah of those things. We should make tawbah of that activity. We should make tawbah of such websites. We should make tawbah of such technologies. We should make tawbah of such forums. We should make tawbah of such channels. We should make tawbah of such pages. Those pages which lead us towards sin. Allah, I make tawbah. This is our pledge. This is the promise. This is how we should intend, just like the Qawm of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. They saw azab coming and immediately they made tawbah. Allah saved them, gave them najat from that tawbah, najat from that waba, from that azab. So we can also see this azab coming in our direction. This is nothing less than an azab. And what this requires is that we should collectively, individually, on our own, in our family, we should turn to tawbah, make istighfar, and not just verbal oral Torah, oral tawbah, but practically. Make intention to leave those things which are inviting us towards sins. Have more himmat, have more sabr. So this is the time to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time to do ruju ilallah, to have inabat ilallah. For people who are engaged in songs, they should make tawbah of listening to songs. For people who are engaged in watching sins, they should make tawbah for watching such films and such clips and such movies. For people who are engaged in ghiba and jhoot and lying, all of these are sins. And the more we will be able to make, the more we stay away from these sins, the more we make tawbah of these sins, the more we try to stay away from all these sinful activities, the quicker we will be able to get the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The quicker we will be able to feel that rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a hadith specifically about Friday, so we crossed Friday, maybe this we can do for next Friday. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that whoever after Jummah Salah, if they recite Surah Ikhlas and Surah Falak and Surah Nas, 7 times, Surah Ikhlas, Surah Falak and Surah Nas, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save them from all musiba from this Jummah to the next Jummah. Allah will protect them if they recite Surah Ikhlas, Surah Falak and Surah Nas. 3 times or 7 times we should try to have a wird on Friday and make this inshallah from one Jummah to the other. Allah will protect us from musibat, all kinds of musibah. Lastly, I just want to end with this ayat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he coins an example for us. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً. Allah presents an example of a city. And the city and the people living in that city, آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً. That city was safe and secure. Yani the city, there are two words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using here. Number one is آمِنَةً. That this city had aman. It had aman. There was no fear. And mutmainna, people also had itminan. So two words are being used here. They had aman and they also had itminan. What's the difference between these two? Sometimes it happens that a person has fear about an external enemy, that someone might attack us. And if we are free from that danger of external threat, that is called aman. So these people, they had aman. And sometimes it happens that a person may have an inner parishani, an inner anxiety. There is an inner sadness or a grief that they're feeling. So these people, they were saved from this inner grief. They had itmenan. There was no external threat or danger upon them. Aman. and there was no inner anxiety or sadness or grief or tension or stress or depression. They had itmenan. Kanat aminatam mutmainna. Ya'tiha rizquha ragadan min kulli makanin. And they had so much risk from Allah, this risk was coming to them in abundance. Min kulli makanin, from every location, from every direction. Yani they were being showered with risk. They were encompassed with risk. They were enveloped, blessed with risk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of bounties and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much risk. Allah ta'ala is saying, these are the words of Allah ta'ala, that so much risk, that barakah in the risk, that charon taraf se, from all directions they were being showered with risk from Allah. فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ But they denied the favors of Allah. They denied the blessings of Allah, the ne'mate of Allah. فَأَذَاكَهُ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوءِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَسْنَعُونَ And as a result, Allah made them taste the libas of hunger, the garment of hunger, and Allah made them taste the libas of khawf, of fear. Bima kanu yasnaun. Why did Allah make them taste this fear of hunger, taste this hunger and taste this fear? Bima kanu, because of the actions that they used to do, because of the naqadri that they used to do, because of the denying the blessings of Allah, because of ignoring the blessings of Allah, ignoring the guidance of Allah, turning away from Allah, becoming forgetful of Allah, becoming forgetful of the ahkam of Allah. This was their amal, because of which Allah put this garment, libasul ju'i wal khawfi, upon them. Now if we wish today that Allah gives us back those ne'mateh, we are living in this zamana where we have libas al-ju'i, the hunger, and we have fear, wal khawfi, upon us. And Quran is telling us this is because of our own actions. So if we wish to again be blessed by those ne'mateh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to enjoy those blessings, then for that we have to make tawbah of our sins. We have to adopt a life of piety and purity, adopt a life of taqwa. And if we do that, then inshallah Allah will cast a glance of mercy, a rahmat, upon us. So this is what needs to be done. Seven things that all of us should be careful about. And inshallah, if we practice these seven things, we will get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will also get the hifazat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last thing is that what if a person becomes sick in this virus? Then we should understand, this is our aqeedah being a Muslim, that every person is destined to leave this world on their own time. Moth, death has been written for all of us. We cannot fool our death. We cannot save ourselves from death. Sidi Bata, it's a simple thing, clear thing, manifest thing, that no one can fool death. We can't save ourselves from death. People say that that person, he was about to die and marte marte bach gaya. That he saved himself. He got life from the pangs of death. When a person heard this, that sheikh, he said that no, this person who was saved from the pangs of death, this person will marte marte bacha tha, ab bachte bachte mar jayega. He will be leading a normal life and he will die one day. So that's the case of death. Every person will die, and the difference is that some people will die quickly, some people will die later. Death, so everything has to, everywhere, every person has to leave this world. But remember that the believer, for a mu'min, the maqsad, the goal of this life is not to live a good life, it's to die a good death. It's to die a good death. And for that means we have to make preparation, we have to turn back to Allah. Mu'min, they are not scared of their death. Because Nabi Salatu Islam has taught us that death is a gift for the mu'min. Death, it's a gift for a mu'min. Death is al-mautu jasrun, it's a bridge. It's a bridge through which a friend can meet his beloved. It's a bridge through which a lover meets his beloved. So for us, death is a tofa, it's a gift. We should not be scared of death. And the reason why we are not afraid of death is because we have this ni'mat of iman. We have this ni'mat of iman, so why should we fear death? Yes, the thing to fear about is to fear our sins. To fear about is to fear that I'm not prepared for death, so I should be making those preparations. But otherwise, death itself, we should have husn-e-zan. Because of this ni'mat of iman, we cannot fear death. For us, death is just a passage from this world to the next, where inshallah, because of the barakah of our iman, we hope we can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a state that Allah is pleased with us and we are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is smiling at us and we are smiling back at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are people who believe in the kalama. We cannot be scared of the death. When Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was facing the Byzantines and he saw that the unbelievers, they outnumbered them, and there were hundreds of thousands of unbelievers, and for the Muslim army there were only 1,000, a few people who were competing. So the ruler of the Byzantine emperor, he addressed Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said that you are no match for us, you should just surrender. You're no match. Look at the strength. We are hundreds of thousands. Look at you. So at that time, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, he replied, ajeeb words, beautiful words. He said that with me are such people, yuhibbun al-maut, they love death the way you people love to drink alcohol. Sahaba ikram ki ajeeb shanti, Allahu Akbar kabira. True mard-e-mu'min, this is their halat, this is their attitude towards dying. That I have such people with me who love death, who have muhabbat for death. Kama tuhibbun, the way you love, the people you guys love to drink alcohol. So there's nothing to be scared about death. We should continue our tawbah to Allah, continue our good deeds, make istighfar. And inshallah, if we do amal on these amal, Allah will do hifazat. Allah is enough for our hifazat. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Allah is the best of the protectors. خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Allah is the most merciful of all the merciful ones. So we should revive these amal in our life, in our homes, do more tilawat, recite more of these ayat kareema. Men also, women also, recite duas for morning and evening, and make dua to Allah Ta'ala to save us from this musibah, from this calamity. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this calamity. May Allah Ta'ala grant hifazat to us, to all our family members, to all our communities, to all our societies. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us out quickly from this calamity, from this test that all of us are in. We turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we say, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. No matter how bad we are still the ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And in our du'as, we should use this wasta to Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, We are the believers, we are the ummati of your beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah, we ask you out of the rahmatul lil alameeni of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah have mercy upon us, have rahmat upon us. And inshallah, Allah take us out from these difficult times. Allah take us out from these calamities, from these diseases. And Allah return us back under the garment of your rahmah. Allah take us back and envelop us again, Allah, with your rahmah, with your mercy. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. As for death is concerned, that will come on its own time. And we should not be afraid of dying. And I'll just mention one last hadith mubarakah and then I'll end. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a young sahabi when the Prophet passed away. Once he was traveling with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in front and Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas was sitting behind Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he turned towards Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas and said that, should I teach you a few words? Should I teach you a few words? And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu a few words. And those words are mentioned in this hadith. So the Prophet wasalam, he said that, be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find Allah in front of you. If you ask, then ask Allah. And if you seek help, then seek help from Allah. And know that if all the nations were to gather together to benefit you with anything, they would not be able to benefit you except with what Allah has already given to you, what Allah has already prescribed for you. And know that if they were to gather together to harm you with anything, they would not be able to harm you except with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already pre-prescribed against you, predestined for you. Know that the pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. Pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. And the Prophet ﷺ said that, be mindful of Allah and you will find Allah in front of you. Acknowledge Allah in times of ease and prosperity, and Allah will remember you in times of adversity. And know that what has passed you by was not going to come upon you. And know what has come upon you, what has befallen upon you, was not going to pass you by. Know that victory comes with sabr. Victory comes with sabr. Relief comes with affliction. And hardship comes with peace, with ease. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, enable all of us and grant all of us the tawfiq to make true tawbah to Him. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us for all our previous sins, our misdeeds, all the sins that we remember, all the sins that we have forgotten. May Allah Ta'ala accept our tawbah tonight, this intention of tawbah tonight. May Allah Ta'ala accept this tawbah and may Allah Ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to live a life of taqwa, to live a life of tahara, to live a life of tazkiyah, to live a life of haya. May Allah Ta'ala make this life easy for us. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the himmat and the strength to be able to lead such a life that is pleasing to Him. And when the time comes for us to leave this world, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a death in such a state that Allah is pleased with us. That Allah, you are pleased with us and we are pleased with you. that Allah, you are smiling at us and we are smiling back at you. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Before we make dua, we'll make a short silent zikr of the heart for a few minutes. Close your eyes and bow your head. Disconnect yourself from everything else in this world. And make intention that, Ya Allah, you have said in the Quran, Fazkuruni azkurkum, that if you remember me, I will remember you. So, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, I am remembering you deep inside of my heart. And I ask you that you remember me by showering your rahmah, your mercy, your hidayah upon my heart. By cleaning my heart of its filth, of its sins, and Ya Allah, my heart in gratitude and shukr is calling upon your Isme Azam, Isme Jalala, Allah, as if my heart is secretly, silently saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah Subhana rabbil alwahhab Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin Ya Rabbi Kareem Ya Allah You are our Malik You are our Khalik You are our Razik Ya Rabbi Kareem You are our Sustainer our Creator our Cherisher our Nurturer Allah zalamana anfusana. Allah, we admit of our mistakes. Allah, we have admit that we have done zulum on ourselves. Allah, we have allowed ourselves to become distant from you, from your hukum. We have allowed ourselves to become distant from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, from the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, we come to you tonight. Ya Allah, you make that same dua which Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam made. Allah, that same dua that you taught Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we give you wasita of that same dua, and we use those same duas to you also, Ya Allah. And now we ask you, Rabbana zalamna anfusana, wa illam taghfir lana, wa tarhamna, lana kunanna min al-khasirin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to accept this tawbah from all of us. Allah, we ask you to accept this tawbah from all of us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to accept this tawbah from all of us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we admit of all of our mistakes. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inna kunna min al-zalimin. Allah, la ilaha illa anta subhanak inna kunna min al-zalimin. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inna kunna min al-zalimin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, Allah, to remove this zulm that we have done on our own selves. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, forgive us for all the sins that we have done, all the sins that we remember, all the sins that we have forgotten, all the sins that we did with our eyes, all the sins that we did with any and every part of our limbs, Allah, all the sinful emotions, the sinful feelings, the sinful desires. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we make tawbah, tawbatan nasuha, kamilan mukammalan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we have remorse and regret and nadama about the sins that we have done. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we turn to you tonight and ask you, Ya Allah, Allah, to remove all the sins from our life, to wipe away all the effects of sins from our life, to remove all the musibat and calamities and all the musibat that is coming in our life because of our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to remove all the musibah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, to save us from all the musibah, to save us from all the calamities, Allah, to save us from all the diseases, to save us, Ya Allah, from all the shar, Allah, to save us, Ya Allah, from any and every consequence of our sins. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we wish to turn back to you. Allah, we wish to turn back to you. Allah, we wish to return back to you. Allah, we wish to draw ourselves near to you. Allah, we want to draw near to you. We want to draw close to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you again for that gaze of rahmah. Allah, we ask you again for that gaze of muhabbah. Allah, we ask you again for that gaze of hidayah. Allah, we ask you again for that gaze of hifaza. Ya Rabbi Kareem, shower us, Ya Allah, once again with your mercy. Allah, you are arhamur rahimeen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we are the weak. You are the Qawi. Allah, every weak turns towards the strong. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we know, Ya Allah, Allah, we don't want to sin, but Allah, nafs is with us. Allah, our nafs has become nafs-e ammara. Allah, we sin because of our nafs. Allah, we sin because of this shaitan who is with us all the time. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, we ask you for hifaza. Allah, we ask you for hifaza against the shar of this shaitan. We ask you for hifaza against the shar of this nafs. Allah, save us, Ya Allah, from the deceptions of our nafs and shaitan. Allah, save us from the hasad of the hasidin. Save us from the shar of the shareen. Allah, save us from all those people who have ill thoughts or ill wishes for us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to save us from all diseases, from all calamities, from all afflictions. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, we want to bring ourselves in your hifaza, under your protection. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you again for barakah in our deen, for barakah in our dunya, for barakah in our ilm, for barakah in our amal, for barakah in all the ni'matin that you have given to us. Allah, include our names amongst the shakirin. Allah, up till now we have been doing naqadri of the ni'matin that you have given to us. Allah, we have done naqadri of this iman that you have given to us. We have done naqadri of this Quran that you have given to us. Allah, we have surely, Ya Allah, we haven't been able to fulfill the rights of this Quran. We haven't been able to fulfill the rights of this Quran. Allah, we admit, Ya Allah, we acknowledge, Ya Allah, we are ashamed and we are embarrassed before you. Allah, we don't have that taluk with Quran that we should have had. Allah, we don't have that taluk with the Sunnah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we are embarrassed over our state. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we haven't done Qadr, Ya Allah. Allah, we make Tawbah of this sin also, this sin of Na Qadri. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to turn us back, Ya Allah, to return us, Ya Allah. We ask you, Ya Allah, to bring us back on this path of the Quran, of the Sunnah, to bring us back, Ya Allah, to be able to follow, Ya Allah, on the footsteps of the Nabiyeen, the Siddiqeen, the Salihin, the Shuhada. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, enable us to become people of the Quran, enable us to become people of the Sunnah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to become people of Deen, to become people of Haya, to become people of Taqwa, people of Tahara, to become people of Tazkiyah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, purify our impure hearts. Allah, purify our impure desires. Allah, purify our impure feelings. Allah, purify our impure thoughts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are the Muzakki Hakiki. Allah, make us pure, Ya Allah. Grant us purity in our Zahir. Grant us purity in our Batin. Allah, nothing is difficult for you. Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, Allah, to do Tazkiyah of us, Ya Allah. Allah, you have said in Quran that if it's not for your Fazl and your Rahmah, if it's not for your Mashiyah and your Rahmah, Allah, no one will be able to purify themselves. Allah, we ask you for your Fazl and your Rahmah. We ask you for your Mashiyah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make decision, Ya Allah. Allah, make decision and irada to purify us, Ya Allah. Allah, make us pure in our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we make dua for us, we make dua for all our family members, we make dua for the entire Muslim Ummah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we make dua for everyone, Ya Allah, who is suffering. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove the sufferings, Ya Allah. Allah, for those who don't have this ni'mat of Iman, Allah, make this an opportunity. Allah, make this an opportunity for Hidayah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, guide them towards Iman. Allah, guide them towards Iman. Bring them towards Iman. Allah, for those of us who already have this ni'mat of Iman, Allah, we got this ni'mat for free. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people who do qadr of this ni'mat of Iman. Allah, make us people, Allah, who are able to strengthen this Iman, who preserve this Iman, who nurture this Iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask Ya Allah to grant us conviction and certainty in our Iman. Allah, make us people who can feel the sweetness of our Iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us people of Amal. Make us people, Ya Allah, of Amal, Ya Rabbi, of Amal o Saleh. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, when the time comes for us to leave this world, Ya Rabbi Kareem, first grant us Your Rada. Allah, first grant us Your Rada. Allah, first grant us Your pleasure, and then later, Ya Allah, grant us death. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we want to leave this world in such a state that You are Razi with us, that You are Razi with us, and Allah, we are Razi with You, that You are smiling at us, and we are smiling back at You. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, make this time an opportunity for us to draw close to You. Make this time an opportunity for us to do Ihya'i Sunnah, to revive the Sunnah in our life. Allah, make this time an opportunity for us for Ihya'i Deen, to revive the deen, the lost deen in our lives. Ya Allah, make this time an opportunity for us to draw near and close to You. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make this time an opportunity for us that we can maximize on our deen. Allah, we can maximize on our deen. Allah, make this an opportunity. Make this time an opportunity for us that we can return back to You in Tawbah, in Istighfar. We can return back to You in Taqwa, in Tahara. Allah, we can return back to You with this niyat of Sunnah. Allah, we can return back to You, Ya Allah, with this taluk that we had and we should have had with the Quran. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make this a time of opportunity for us. Allah, make this time, make this opportunity, Ya Allah, way that we can maximize our relationship, our taluk with You. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we want to leave this world in such a way that You are Razi with us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask You for the ni'matin that You have given on this world. Allah, we ask You to make us people who do shukr of this ni'matin. And then, Ya Allah, we also ask You for the ni'matin of Akhirah. Allah, we ask You for the ni'matin of Jannah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Whatever pious intentions any one of us have in our hearts, Allah, You are the knower of our hearts. You are the knower of our desires. You are the knower of the thoughts, the deep thoughts and feelings that we have inside of us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask You to fulfill our pious intentions, our pious desires, our pious du'as. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever du'as we should have made, we weren't able to make, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask You, Ya Allah, to grant us according to Your own shan, according to Your own hikmah, Allah, according to Your own rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us according to Your shan-e kareemi. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim, wa tub 'alaina innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala 'ala habibihi khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa 'ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.